This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left in a tight formation. Brady swings the pass right with Green on the run. To the 25-20. Green in a foot race. He's on his way to the end zone. He has a Patriots touchdown.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are back on the road in Indy to take on Andrew Luck and the Colts on Sunday Night Football.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. Oh. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
That's right, it's the PPGS, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Patriots Colts tonight in Indianapolis. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program. Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo. Andy Hart will be joining us shortly. The number for you to get on the program tonight, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500 or 855-728-7500. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com. And please, if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag PPGS for the next 2 hours. We're here until 8:15, right before kickoff tonight in Indianapolis between the Patriots and the Colts. A big game for the Patriots. Before we even knew, Paul, what was happening elsewhere in the AFC today, we knew this was a big game this week. A big road game for the Pats. AFC opponent, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, the whole thing. And then some other stuff happened today, including the Denver Broncos losing, that I think makes this game even more important tonight.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to throw something else in that I didn't really expect today, and that would be the positive side. On the negative side, Seattle losing to Kansas City suddenly puts the Chiefs in the equation here. If the Patriots were to slip up tonight, not only the Colts would have the edge on the Patriots, but Kansas City would as well. Both would be 7-3 along with the Patriots. Both of those teams would then have a win over the Patriots. So, yeah, an interesting day in the AFC. Denver looking like not only they lost a game, lost some personnel, they have a couple of tougher games coming up with Kansas City and San Diego on the road, as well as Miami and Cincinnati, I think, on the road. Miami's at home, but Cincinnati's on the road. So what looked like a little bit of a an easy landing for Denver, took a turn for them today. So, yeah, this is an opportunity to not only get a big win on the road, but to really solidify their standing as the number one seed in the AFC.
Well, let's talk about the road thing for a minute. I feel that this team does need to prove they need to win a big game on the road. I don't think they've had that, and I think this game tonight provides them the perfect opportunity to do it, because I think Indianapolis has been historically a tough place to play. Patriots have gotten some good wins there.
I agree.
But you never know the element of the fake crowd noise or any of that stuff that goes on there, which does happen, Paul. It does happen. There's audio proof of it.
Okay.
But aside from that, I think that this is a chance tonight to get a good road win, and I think that goes a long way in this team proving themselves.
Yeah, I think that they've haven't had a lot of opportunities lately to play really good teams on the road. Most of their good games in the last 2 or 3 years against quality opponents have been at home. And you look back and they have been, back in the championship days, they were good anywhere. They were going 14-2, so you weren't losing anywhere. Now, 12-4, and they've generally been going 8-0 at home and 4-4 on the road. And then out of those four losses on the road, a couple of them have been to playoff teams here and there. So they haven't had a chance to win a lot of road games against playoff teams. This is a chance to do that. They should have at least one more, maybe two, depending on what happens with San Diego. So I agree with you, Mark. This is an opportunity to go on the road against what I think is a good team, not a great team, a flawed team, but a good quality opponent that plays well at home. And then it's a night game for them, big game for the Colts, obviously, and an opportunity, as I said, opportunity to solidify your standing as the number one seed.
As you mentioned, there are some holes. We'll get more into that coming up when Andy joins us in studio and we get into the keys to tonight's game, some of the matchups in this game. But obviously, when you're talking about the Indianapolis Colts, you're talking about Andrew Luck. He's already thrown for 3,000 yards. He's got 26 touchdowns already at this point in the year. Andrew Luck, you know, in my mind, best young quarterback in the game. And when you're going against Tom Brady, much is made of the quarterback matchup tonight, Paul. A lot, you know, I saw the headline today, just for example, in the Boston Globe about the torch potentially being passed to Andrew Luck. I think it's possible that Andrew Luck will become the best quarterback in the NFL at some point. I don't think he's there yet. And I think it's, I said this all week long. I find it insulting that people want to say that he is the next Tom Brady or next Peyton Manning. I'm just not going there yet on this guy. And a lot of people seem to want to put him there already.
Well, I think he has that potential. I do.
But that's potential.
I mean, obviously, if you're calling someone the next something, you're not saying he is it. You're saying he will be it. And I think he is that good. I think he is that talented that he's going to be the next big thing. I do. I think he's a terrific quarterback. I think he is starting to get some pieces around him now. 2 years ago when he came in, he inherited a team that flat out wasn't very good. And he had to do it all. He needs to learn, I think, some of the nuances of what Brady and Manning have done so well. Brady more so than Manning even. But just sort of understanding when to take chances and when to say, you know, I can play to my defense here. I can punt. I don't have to convert every third down. I don't have to force it in all the time. I don't have to be the whole show. And I think that he's starting to get that a little bit. But it takes time. Now, listen, 2 years from now, if we're still talking about Andrew Luck and saying, boy, he's wonderfully talented but making too many mistakes still, and then you change. You say, well, that he sort of is what he is. He's a productive guy, but he's not going to be one of the all-time greats. I think he has a chance to be one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, I think there's a chance there. I'm not going to deny that his ceiling is high because it is. I'm always hesitant to say that a player is going to be the next X. Because I think when you're talking about a player like Tom Brady, we're talking about one of the best ever. And just because you may be the best in the league at a specific position doesn't make you in the class of best ever. And that's why I'm just hesitant to go there. And it's been a storyline all week coming into this game.
He stinks?
You know, what do you mean?
The local guys just...
Nationally, I'm talking about.
Oh, nationally,
I think this is played up.
Well, I think nationally
Andrew
they're
Luck
trying,
is the next guy.
I think nationally they're trying to build it up into Brady Luck. You know, is this like Manning Brady? You know, is this is the next big thing? It's Brady Luck, and I get that. You know, you're trying to play up a storyline for NBC. Locally, it's
I know
like,
NBC played it up last week with you know young Andrew Luck against
yeah.
you know the veteran Tom Brady,
that.
12 versus 12, and like as if they're in the same class, and it annoyed me.
Hey, I don't know if
long.
You heard, but Andrew Luck's thrown 9 interceptions because that's all I've heard locally all week.
He turns
how much
I mean
how much he sucks.
He's turned them all over a lot in his career. You can't take that one away.
No,
from
I
him.
Know. I know. I understand that. But that's all I've heard all week is 9 interceptions, you know.
It's not unfair.
It's 9.
It's not an unfair criticism.
9 picks. Well, that's why he's not great yet.
And that's what I'm saying.
But
he's not there yet.
He's great. That's my point.
There's plenty of people saying he's great. And I think a lot of it comes from the
people are saying he's the next big thing.
Yeah, he could be the next big thing, but that doesn't make him.
That doesn't make you great.
But that doesn't make him Tom Brady, even if he is the next great thing. That's what my point has been. Because just because you are the next great thing and you could be great and you could end up being the number one quarterback in all the NFL doesn't automatically put you in the greatest of all time category.
But you got to look at it comparatively, Beadle. Not to what Brady is today, to what Brady was, at, you know, 3 years in.
I think they're not that far apart 3 years in.
Oh, I think Luck has far surpassed him 3 years in. He's done far more for his offense than Brady did his first three
years.
Well,
that's also not fair, though, because Brady was not asked to do as much for his team as Luck was asked to do for his.
Yeah, okay, listen.
It's kind of hard to use that as a negative against Tom Brady.
I'm not using it as a negative against Tom Brady. I'm using it for a
positive.
I'm using it for a positive for Andrew Luck.
Which is inherently a negative for Tom Brady.
Why?
Because if one is up, the other is down.
I don't understand that. Why?
That's just the way it
is. I'm trying to defend the people that are saying that Luck could be the next big thing that seems to have really got your panties in a bunch. I don't really understand why this upsets you.
Because I think...
This is like when you bring up the AFC East is not a good division to Patriots fans.
Well, because
they break out in hives.
I just think it's a dumb comparison to be making.
Why?
Because I don't know why you are, why people are so eager.
See, that's what I don't understand. Right? Why do you put it that way? Why are people so eager to put this guy in the class of Brady and Manning?
And Brady is better than Manning, and they just want to like throw it in there, like, oh yeah, he's okay. Gonna be the next one of those guys.
Well, Manning,
how the hell do you know?
Well, Manning went 3-13 his first year. This guy went 11-5 and went to the playoffs. Like, that's all people are saying.
Do you think Andrew Luck will be as good as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? Because
the
odds are against everybody who comes into the league to be that great.
Because
there are so few players that ever reach the level that Brady or Manning or Elway or Montana reached, that I just think it's a joke that people after 40 games want to throw this kid in there as being like the next one of those.
Well, listen, if you want to just sit there and wait till it all unfolds and then you can tell me if he was worthy of that, that's fine. I'm just giving you my evaluation now.
Pump the brakes, Paul. That's what I'm saying.
He's done things that that only the great ones do. That's why I think that he is on track to be one of those.
And he's thrown a lot of picks along the way, Paul.
Nine. I don't know if you heard. Nine picks. He sucks.
He fumbles, too. Don't forget that.
He sucks.
He fumbles.
He absolutely fumbles. He sucks.
You know, that's all I want to say. And even if he's top five, right? A lot of people want to say, oh, where does he rank in the league, right? Where do you put Andrew Luck in the league? Well, he's top five. Great. Well, there might be a huge drop off between 3 and 4 or 4 and 5. It doesn't mean you are as good as number one because you're in the top five.
All right, can we just eliminate Brady from this conversation so we can talk like adults?
Ooh.
So we don't have to say it's any comparison to Brady. Brady's better. We don't have to say like there's any comparison whatsoever.
Well, we know that,
between
though.
Luck
That's
and Brady.
Obvious.
Yes, I agree. No one's putting him in that category, but somehow you're really upset that people think he might someday achieve that.
I'm upset with the story.
He's nowhere near that right now.
People are making the case that he's almost there or he is.
I think he's tracking to that level.
So you can make that case tonight if he beats Brady.
No. How could you make that now?
Well, because he's now in the driver's seat to be one of the top two seeds in the AFC.
No, Beatles telling me that he can't be that because Brady and Manning are so great. What are the odds are that he's going to be that great?
Well Manning's done. Just ask Greg Kirsch.
Someone's going to be that
but
the
I'm
next
also,
great
but
one.
But I'm also not basing it on resume. And like a lot of people want to knock Andrew Luck for, oh, where's the big wins? Where's the playoff wins? Like, well, a lot of that is not just on the quarterback. Some of that has to do with your team. And so Tom Brady doesn't get all the credit for winning 3 Super Bowls in his first 4 years as a starter, because if you're comparing the resumes at this point in their career, Brady kicks his ass. I mean, it's not even close.
Right. But 3 years in as a starter.
I'm not holding that against Andrew Luck.
Okay.
I'm more fair than that.
3 years in for Brady is what? To Luck?
3 years in. After 3 years as a starter, Brady would have already had 2 Super Bowl
rings. Right. 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs.
Like, Luck's not going to happen.
He didn't
do nearly as much as Luck did.
He won the Super Bowls, but he didn't play like that.
No, but that's why everybody compares Russell Wilson to Brady and Peyton Manning.
And I think, Russell Wilson couldn't hold Luck's jockstrap either.
I looked it up the other day. Okay, Andrew Luck has had 41 starts so far. Brady threw 41 starts and had 59 touchdowns. Luck has 72. So they're kind of close.
That's close?
Kind of close.
That's close?
And again, different era in the league, and Brady wasn't being asked to do as much as Luck
is. But that's what I would say to defend Brady. But again, that's why I eliminated Brady, because seemingly that's going to make everybody all upset. We can't put anybody else in the same sentence.
We've got a hot topic here, Andy.
You can't put anybody in Brady's sentence. Okay, he's not as good as Brady.
I threw Manning in there, too.
I don't think he's anywhere close. But you can make fun of Brady. You can make fun of Manning. No one's going to get mad at you for that.
What exactly did I walk into? What is the root of this?
Beatles got a real bee in his bonnet. People think that Luck might be the next big thing.
Not that he's the next big thing, that he is the next Brady or Manning.
Yes, that's the next big
thing.
And
I'm not saying in the terms of all-time type of player.
And I have the audacity to say I think he is going to be.
I agree with that. I think it's an insult to Brady and Manning that the people are doing that already.
He's Brady and Manning with athleticism. He's Aaron Rodgers with size.
No one gets that.
I think he's a culmination of Rodgers, Roethlisberger, and the Brady Manning shtick.
And his point, it's impossible to do that. You can't do that. Wait 10 years, see what he turns out to be, and then we'll decide whether or not we think
this isn't. Well, if we're doing an all-time discussion, right, then why the hell do we have to do it right now?
We don't.
I mean,
we typically do that at the end of the careers.
But nobody said he is.
The rush
They're saying
is to
he
do
could
it.
Be.
There are people that do say he is, not in this room, but elsewhere.
Do people not compare Brady to Montana
at this point?
Brady's how many years into the league, Paul?
No.
They did it
forever.
They did it in 2003.
As soon as he started to win. Brady like Montana?
Yeah.
Can you not admit it's a little bit different when you win three Super Bowls?
No,
though?
I'm talking about when he won like one.
Wait.
And that's crazy if someone was doing that.
Well, they were.
That's dumb.
And I also,
that's
as dumb see, as I don't, this would be. I don't
but
think
it's not
it, I don't
dumb,
think
it's sports.
Dumb. They had similar styles. I don't think it was dumb at all.
Well, see, what you're doing is poo-pooing your job.
Yes. You're trying to analyze.
Talk radio, this is what you do. And don't try to make this Harold Miner as Baby Jordan.
Marconi over here is explaining to me what talk
well,
radio
you're,
is.
You're that's, telling
that's
people,
yeah.
we're
that's,
not going to talk about
it. That's actually
a
good analogy. You're making it out to be that this guy doesn't belong
right.
in any kind of conversation in any way, shape, or form. Like someone saying Jay Cutler
no,
I'm is,
saying,
is going to be
I'm not saying don't have
thing.
The conversation. I'm saying those people are wrong who are saying
you
this.
Can't
okay,
say
well,
that.
I'm, well, then I'm wrong. What do you,
you
want
can't
me to
say
you?
That. You're wrong. You can't say they're wrong for saying this guy is, quote, the next big thing. Because guess what? He's the next big thing.
He could be the best quarterback in the NFL for an extended period of time, Andy, and may never be Brady, Manning, Montana, any of those
guys.
So
what would he have to do to be Brady, Montana, any of those guys?
To be that?
Yeah.
He'd have to be a lot better than he is now for a longer period of time.
In what way?
Okay, but he will.
No, but I want to
know
what is
that.
But I want to know in what way would he have to be better? That's what I want to know.
Here's my thing. The way that this guy...
Does he have to win a Super Bowl or two?
Eventually,
yeah. Okay, so that's it.
But it's not
just Super Bowls. Because all the rest of the stuff he does...
Everything else.
All the
so
rest
he's
of the stuff he does.
Quarterback.
He's on
no.
track.
He's just as good
he's
as Tom
He's on track
Brady.
To have Manning Brady type numbers 15 years from now.
Yeah, just
so
he just,
so
he
if
just
he can
needs
win
to
a
stop
Super
throwing
Bowl,
the picks.
So if he can win a Super Bowl, then you'll say that he's well, there.
He's on pace to have a lot better numbers than Brady.
Well, that's what I tried to say, but evidently 72 and 59 are the same.
Because right now he's on pace to have better numbers
They're
than
close.
Anybody.
They're close.
Right? With 3,300 yards passing.
13 touchdown difference in 40 games.
But that I don't even care about. The numbers are going to be better, in part because he's already better, in part because the league is different. The numbers are bigger, but his numbers are going to be phenomenal. Right?
I'm just
right.
tired of hearing how
so,
great
so
Andy
we just need
you,
so
no, what you
we've
did,
cut, we,
really
we've
what
gotten,
you turned into little Patriots
it.
Homer boy.
We've gotten to the bottom of it.
You
the
turned next, into baby Fred Kirsch.
Next segment, we'll talk about how bad the AFC East is. We'll see if we can get his head to come right off like a real Patriots fan.
The AFC East sucks, Paul. I don't know what you're
you
talking
did. You turned into the, you turned into the boy from Quincy or wherever the hell you're from. That's what you turned into. You're
yeah,
right?
You got a little mad.
You're offended by that?
You got a little mad.
No, I'm offended by your lack of journalistic
mad.
Integrity.
I'm not mad.
Paul has yelled louder than anybody here. That's made clear to everybody.
That's how I talk. I'm not upset.
I just like that I came out of 98.5 and Kevin goes, they're in a fight already.
It was good, but it's good because he started out this whole thing and he's trying to make a point and I go, well, I kind of think that. And I do.
Oh,
I think
so he tried to pull a Felger and basically steer the whole show towards his agenda rather than the fact that, oh, there's actually other co-hosts on this show?
I'm glad you showed up, Andy.
Julius Peppers, touchdown.
Didn't I see that like 2 weeks ago?
Let's get to
already?
The keys to tonight's game. Colts,
ooh, I like
Patriots.
It.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, here we go. Keys to tonight's game. What do you guys got? What are you feeling? How's Andrew Luck going to play? That's what I want to know.
I think Andrew Luck will be fine. If I'm the Colts, the least of my concerns is Andrew Luck.
Well, I agree with that. But my key to the game tonight, more so than any specific matchup, I'll let Andy have a matchup. I'm just going to say fast start. Get the lead and make Andrew Luck chase. Because if you can play the game on your – if the Indy's allowed to play the game the way it wants to, the way it generally has at home, then you can avoid the situations that Beat will be talking about. And I'm sure as soon as – Luck throws a pick or two tonight, Beadle's going to be screaming at me like I'm saying that he's Brady and Manning now and not going to be, but that's okay.
You better hope he throws a pick or two. Lister Quincy boy,
get
Patriot
off to
fan.
Get off to a good start tonight. Get the lead. Eliminate the opportunity for the Colts to dial up the blitzes and get after Brady and make him play from behind. So fast start tonight allows you to run the football. It allows you to keep Brady out of harm's way.
The middle of the field is my matchup for tonight. Both sides of the ball. I think the middle of the field for the Colts is the reason they're going to lose the football game because Rob Gronkowski is going to see Sergio Brown and Butler and DeQuell Jackson and those guys and just eat them bleeping alive. On the other side of the football, we've been very praiseful of Patrick Chung and some of the things he's done. And I think this offense, while not as good high-end as maybe the Broncos, is probably deeper than anything they've faced so far with guys like Allen, Fleener, Bradshaw making their money in the middle of the field. Moncrief in the middle of the field. So I don't really, I'm not really concerned with, say, Darrell Revis on T.Y. Hilton. I'm actually not even as concerned as much with Reggie Wayne if there's a Browner matchup.
I'm not concerned with that either.
I think the middle of the field could be an issue. I think, you know, you could see guys slipping free in there, and I'm not willing to put all the, we've talked about it a lot in the preseason early in the year, the middle of the field. We've kind of forgotten about it late. I think Chung has been better, but I think this is a team that could take advantage of that. So the team that wins the middle of the field on offensively and defensively, I think we'll have a really good chance to win this football game.
I think we should enter a new segment into the show every week, which we can call, Will This Be the Week They Cover Rob Gronkowski?
I think every week it'll be a terrible segment then, because no will be the answer every week.
One answer every week, yes or no?
No.
No.
Sergio Brown.
This is
Sergio Brown is on the field.
This will not be the week.
I don't care. LaRon Landry's on the field. Oh, I got big arms. I'm going to hit him. No, you're not. There is nobody that's going to cover him. And guess what? If Chuck Pagano, you know, he was like being honest this week on the conference call about how big an issue Gronk is. And if they sell out to stop Gronk, well, that's fine. Shane Vereen and Julian Edelman will have big days. Somebody's having big days. It's either Gronk because you can't cover him because you're the 27th pass defense. And oh, by the way, the 32nd red zone defense. They haven't played Gronk yet, and they're the 32nd red zone defense. What do you think their numbers are going to look like?
I think they're going to be 30 seconds.
Is he good in the red zone? I think he is.
Is he good in the red zone?
He might be.
You know what they need? They wish there was like, you know how when you read the quarterback rankings, somebody will be ranked like 36th because a couple backups have enough reps to get in there. If there were other teams, they'd be below 32nd.
I would say it's okay to talk about Rob Gronkowski as one of the best tight ends of all time. It's not too soon to talk about that for him, Paul. Okay,
just so want to you really have taken it full circle.
I just want to let you know it's okay to talk.
Well, Andy and I were actually, you know,
there's enough of a sample. No,
I got him in the Hall of Fame.
In all seriousness, we had a conversation about this on PFW in Progress about whether or not you know all the injuries. Let's just say that he got hurt tomorrow and that was it. His career was over. We both think that he's a Hall of Famer. Because he was so great.
Yes. You know the problem?
Because he was so great in such a short period of time. And there's precedent. Guys like Gale Sayers and whatnot.
The one problem is the guy who would have to promote him for the Hall of Fame doesn't really agree with us.
Yeah, we asked Borgie, who loves Gronkowski. Absolutely loves Gronkowski. And he's the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's the
what are you
local
giggling
guy
about?
I was
going to
say
committee.
Something and now I'm not. Because
he doesn't believe he's done enough yet.
Don't be a punanite.
Say
something.
I was going to say, maybe he's not around anymore. Maybe he's not the guy making the case by the time Gronk is up for the Hall of Fame.
No, but we're talking about
if he got hurt tomorrow
right?
And he's done five years
from now?
What do you think, Ron is tick-ticking to death?
Maybe he's retired. He's retired.
And he did say he would make the argument.
Yeah, he said he could make a good argument.
He just knows it won't go over well in the room.
He doesn't think he'd get in. He said he could make a good argument for him, but doesn't believe he'd get in.
All right, let's get to some of these phone calls coming in here. 855-PATS-500. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Stupid bleep-eating grin on your face. All because you got Paul riled up early.
I got Paul riled up. It's great.
But
we're off to a great start.
The funny thing is, I think I got you riled up too, and I'm laughing the same way.
It's great. It's good stuff. Let's go to Zach.
I didn't realize you still had that fanboy in you.
I got a little bit of it left. Zach's in Conway. Hi, Zach.
Hey guys, hopefully you won't get any callers this week telling the game 2 hours before this week. But anyway,
yeah, you're not going to the game tonight, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not heading up down to Indianapolis.
If you are, get in the car. That's what I was.
Yeah.
And by the way, he made it.
He made it. Yeah.
Midway through the first quarter,
yeah,
I think.
Early in the first quarter.
The guy
from Manchester.
I think he called. Didn't he call this week?
Yeah, I think he did.
But anyway, guys.
Okay.
Right. The Patriots have had like a lot of highs this season, as you guys know, and a lot of lows. But I would say if we lose tonight, what would be the biggest headline? And if we win, what will the biggest headline be for that?
Luck beat a Brady tonight.
Yeah, I think the biggest headline coming out of this for a win is that the Patriots are at the top of the AFC and in control.
Right.
That's what it's about.
And if not, the Colts have stamped themselves in the conversation of a legitimate Super Bowl contender, legitimate AFC contender.
Yeah,
because they'll have your tiebreaker, and they'll be in the numbers game, and now you can't say, oh, yeah.
And Luck's one of the greatest ever, and he's Tom Brady.
And the Colts.
The torch has been passed.
Yeah, because I think
that'll be the storyline the last week of January when he knocks off either Manning or Brady. But he'll take a step in that direction tonight. Of course, we don't really know how the game unfolds. maybe Brady goes down with an injury first play of the game.
They ain't gonna win. They ain't
who
gonna
says
win.
That?
They ain't gonna win 6-3. Wow, fanboy came out again.
Who says that?
Good job, Andy.
No, but you know, headlines generally, I know it doesn't always work on the cover of PFW because Fred writes those headlines, but they generally have something to do with the game. So we can't just assume what the headline would be. And if Brady goes down, I'm guessing that's part of the headline. Right?
But yeah. why would you talk about the possibility for a headline?
Because what is the single biggest event that would
goes
any
down,
other, any, be any the other, story of the game?
Any other big-name players you want to wish injury upon tonight?
See, that's what you do. Again, there he is, little pom-pom waving Patriots fan. I wished an injury on him.
I thought it was a little bit of an odd comment.
You're an a-hole, too.
Well, it's out of place,
right? Odd comment.
No, what's the biggest event? What's the biggest event that could change the story of this game? Tom Brady getting hurt.
Yeah, we know that, but he's talking about the outcome of the game, assuming none of that
Well, guess what? I think if Brady gets hurt, the outcome of the game is going to go the Colts' way.
Let's assume health.
Okay? I'm not like Andy Gresh, who I just talked to, and he says if Brady goes down, that, you know, I'm not saying they're going to roll, but I still think the 2 seed would be legitimate. Excuse me? You still think the 2 seed, if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go into Green Bay and is going to go into
we
San
think
Diego
the next four
and
games,
go into New York?
Indy, Detroit, Green Bay, San Diego, we think are all legitimate
right.
games, right?
Right?
Yep.
And we think if Garoppolo was playing, they wouldn't be losing all four of those games?
Nope, he's got him with the 2 seed.
Win them all.
Legit chance at the 2 seed.
Joe's in South Carolina. He's up next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. I guess your keys to the game right here.
All right, let's hear him.
Hey, Mark, the answer is going to be no every single week.
But it's still a fun game to play.
No, it would be the worst segment in radio.
No, it's not.
The center that's going to win this, then we have a Gronk. And Paul is right. We got to get ahead early. I got a quick question for you guys.
Wow. Not the way I thought that was
going. Is this the week that we see the return of the 2 tight end set? I know I've been beating this dead horse, but I'm kind of praying here. I want to see it.
Tempt Why?
To get in there.
Why do you want to see it? 40 points a game,
really
not
like,
good enough?
Take aside the fact that the guy was a murderer, I really like seeing those 2 tight end sets back in the day.
But what I mean,
they are scoring 40 points a game.
Let me ask you. I won't yell at you like Andy.
I will.
Specifically, what is it about Tim Wright? But what is it about Tim Wright that you would rather see being productive than what Brandon LaFell has done the last few weeks? Like, why is it that it had to be 2 tight ends?
Mutually exclusive. I think you get production from all of them. We get more points on the board, but
more than 43 a game.
2 tight end set was very hard to cover. Opened up the middle, gave Brady that front porch pass.
Wait a minute! All I heard during the 2 tight end set era was that they were too middle of the field centric. Right. They didn't have anybody to make plays on the outside.
You didn't hear it from me, did you?
No, I mean, you just.
No, but I like this. I
got to
be honest with you. If the offense, if this is what the offense is, what we've seen the last month, I'll take this over that.
Oh, me too.
They've been more productive.
I think it's a more traditionally created offense where you have a slot, a tight end, and an
guy
outside
who can
guy
get outside
making
the
plays.
Numbers making plays.
Now, in Patriots Football Weekly, you've convinced me that LaFell stinks and he only makes plays because Gronk's on the field.
That's not what I said.
Check your newsstands on Tuesday for what was supposed to be a Brandon LaFell is great story turned into Gronk
LaFell
is great.
And Brandon LaFell, I thought, was a very good teammate and said that the difference in the offense has been the increased production from Gronkowski has made life easier for all of us.
Right.
That was Brandon LaFell's take, and Andy's mad.
If you really wanted to go in and write the Brandon LaFell BJ,
I would have ignored what he said and written whatever I wanted.
No, the next paragraph is, but he was selling himself short because he's been making his own plays with or without.
I said he's been taking advantage of his opportunities. It's exactly what I write.
That's exactly what I write. I write. I Paul.
And we'll focus on misspeaking instead of the fact. I should have just ignored the quote
tonight.
Should have just ignored the quote and written whatever
nice
I
job,
wanted to
Mark.
Write.
Nice job, Mark. You got him mad from the get-go. We're going to have to deal with this for another hour and 45.
Joe, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Chris is in Australia tonight. Hi, Chris. Chris.
Good night, Mike. Mike.
Hey. How are you, boys?
Tremendous, Mike.
Oh, that's good to hear. I've got two things. One's more selfish than the other. First of all, do you think Jonas Gray will actually be sustainable until January?
Sustainable in a limited role like he's had? Sure. But
I mean in a larger role.
Oh, I have no idea because I haven't really seen him in a larger role. And that's one of my doubts about this team, run defense and run offense, if they need to do either. I have my doubts.
Okay. Oh, well, me too.
But we're just being a little negative. I mean, if they can score 40 points a game, the ability to stop the run and run is going to be somewhat irrelevant because, as Bill likes to say, it's really all about points, and how you get there is sort of
irrelevant.
And
once you start scoring, you take away that running game for the other team, and that it was stuck. My cord was.
It looks like a woman like undoing her hair and like.
So once you get that lead, that's why I think it's imperative to start quick. You eliminate the other team, and I think that's the biggest weakness of the Patriots defense, and you eliminate.
Believe it or not, Paul.
That part.
We always try to start quick.
I'm the one with the edge.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have an edge.
Chris, what else you got?
You're being like douchey.
And that's, hold on a minute. And that's different how.
That's true.
Screw you.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
That's all right. I'm actually in New York for the Jets Pats game. I want to know what's going on before the game.
I don't know. I would check the fan registry on Patriots.com. I know there are a number of Jets Patriots bars, but tailgating, you could probably find a group there. That's a Fred Kirsch question. Why don't you call back during the week? Fred Kirsch and Barry Insiong will get you hooked up.
All right, cheers, boys. I enjoy the show, guys.
Tremendous. Well, you're not in New York yet, right?
No. I'm in New York on the 18th of December.
Oh, okay. So that's good. That'll be a good game. I am one who's still a little hesitant to just put that one in the chalk it up as a win column.
I'll put that one in that column.
I don't like facing Jets defenses, and I know the second game at times has been the blowout game and all that, but, you know, especially if Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback, as Andy Grash suggested.
Well, do I reserve the right to change my pick? if Brady doesn't play?
Gresh doesn't. He's just going to pencil it in either way. Why do I feel like I'm going to be calling Andy Grash this week to apologize?
You know...
Yeah. I don't know. You keep talking about him. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Dunkin' Donuts Angus Steak and Egg Sandwich is the perfect way to start your day. It's a delicious breakfast sandwich with the steak and egg you deserve. Enjoy an Angus Steak and Egg Sandwich today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. Let's take a time out. Everyone's hot here. Let's cool down. Everyone cool down, and we'll be back with more of your calls.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a question for the boys? Call them on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
We got the Sunday two-pack coming up.
Good. Short. I can only go 0-2.
Yeah, we're short four today on the six-pack. We pick two games, tonight's game included. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. We go behind enemy lines tonight at 7:30. It's Stephen Holder of the Indy Star will be joining us here on the show. So we'll talk to him coming up at 7:30, get some insight into how great Andrew Luck is. We'll be talking about that at 7:30.
You're such an a-hole.
In the meantime, let's go back to
but he says
lines.
It like mockingly like he's a Jag. There
no,
is no question.
No one said he was a Jack.
No, but you he make it sound say, like that. Said how great he is. Yeah. like it's ridiculous to say he's great.
His point is Brady and Manning are the two best ever, so it's impossible to compare anybody to them. That's your point.
I said it's premature.
But no one's saying that he's as good as those guys now. We're saying
it's a
that
projection.
He's going to be as great as those guys.
Projection. Do
he's
you know what projection
that
means?
Now, he will be
you
that in 10 years.
Are far more reasonable about this than some others. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think anybody says he's as good as Brady and Manning now.
Do you come here and fight battles that you start elsewhere?
Yes.
Because I deal enough of that with Paul. I can't have multiple people who are battling,
true. I'm battling
people that aren't in the room.
I'm battling something that I've
see,
been
for some
battling
reason,
all week.
For some reason, Andy feels like he's above listening to talk radio and hearing these kinds of thoughts, and he thinks that you make them up.
No. No, no, no. I did not make this up. Paul is my witness.
For some reason, Andy doesn't read his inbox of like ask PFWs and
sure.
And, like I, these things are out there.
Yeah, these things
thinks,
are said.
He thinks their voices in my head.
And neither of you
head.
Guys are really saying it, so I'm not saying it's on you. I just started the fight with Paul.
I noticed.
And
I mean,
Andy,
I didn't,
and Andy,
but I
and
saw.
I, and, one
I,
of the things,
and I finished it.
And one of the things I said right off the top was he's the best young quarterback in the game. I'd take him over anyone else.
Like Alex Smith?
I think, yeah, he's better than Alex Smith.
Did you tell him that?
I think.
We don't need to go now.
Speaking of things that you heard.
Oh, yeah, things you heard, Alex, you fought elsewhere.
Someone on a pregame radio show when we were coming in made that comment. You know, like, he's a great young quarterback, you know, like Alex Smith, who's in, like, his eighth year. I don't know.
I think Alex Smith is better now than when he was young because he wasn't doing much when he was a young quarterback in
right.
the league.
And he's at his best when he's doing less and less.
No, I think when we're talking about great young quarterbacks in the league, we're talking maybe about Russell Wilson, who won the Super Bowl last year and has done some things, but I would put him far ahead of Russell Wilson.
I find it fascinating because I've talked about it with Paul, the whole Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Brady, Manning comparison. that Wilson is the Brady because he has a running game and a defense and a Super Bowl ring. Is he capable later on when things happen and Lynch is gone, the defense isn't as good, is he capable of pulling a Brady and becoming more of a playmaker, going to have to do more, can't get by throwing, you know, 175 yards or 200 yards, going to have to throw 350. Because I certainly think Luck, if you gave him Marshawn Lynch and the Seattle defense, would say, oh, I'd be happy to play that way.
Yeah, although they can both move. Like, I look at Russell Wilson as a guy who runs.
He's a great runner.
He's a great runner and can use his running as
a
weapon in and of itself. Whereas Luck's a really good runner. He can take off and run.
Yeah, but
and he adds an element to his game.
Russell Wilson is not winning Super Bowls.
This could be a play where I run and we make a huge
Russell Wilson's not winning Super Bowls just with his legs after he loses Marshawn Lynch in that defense. Ain't happening. You're going to have to learn to throw the ball and make some plays.
Well, that's why I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year.
No. I'm talking years down the road.
Because I think he's already started to lose some of his offense. And I think there's something wrong with that team. I think there's something going on with the.
Well, it could be that Pete Carroll's the coach, and you know that has a shelf life.
Yeah, and I agree with that. They have some internal stuff going on.
They have internal issues going on there.
It's not just a Super Bowl hangover. They have some problems on that team.
Not to get too off topic, I saw a thing last week on ESPN where they had all their guys mic'd up. They had Russell Wilson mic'd up, and it was just the interaction with his teammates was just weird. Something like he was trying to, you know, he was being a leader and trying to get guys going before the game. And it was just like the lack of a response or the way they didn't really talk to him that I thought, man, something is definitely weird. And there's been some stories written about it,
right?
You know, speculating what those issues are, but something's not right with that team. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Are we concerned about Andrew Luck running against the Patriots tonight?
Yes. I think that has to be a concern. And it's obviously been one of the topics this week when you're talking about man versus zone. And obviously when you're in more man coverages, you can open things up down the sideline. Because if T.Y. Hilton runs Darrell Revis off and then Luck runs right down the sideline, you could get, he's capable of moving the sticks, picking up 15, 20 yards. And you're without Chandler Jones, remember? And you still have Akeem Ayers. And I know he's been this nice story, but he's only been here a couple games. He's probably not the most comfortable with everything that's going on. So, yeah, I think the legs are a concern.
I'm not prepared to say that yet. He hasn't proven that yet over the long haul. No, Andy's right, because there's nothing more frustrating, in all seriousness.
Paul's still upset. That's what's going on.
There's nothing more frustrating than playing good defense on 3rd and 8 or so and having a quarterback sneak out and – I thought Geno Smith did it a lot a couple of weeks ago.
That's how Chandler Jones got hurt. he broke his hip.
That's the kind of stuff that you can't let Luck do, and I think that they'll probably do a better job against him, knowing that that's a big part of his game.
Andy, you brought up the man versus zone stuff. Do you think we see more man or more zone in this game tonight? Because I would agree with that.
I think this is a third straight week here. You saw it with the Bears. You saw it with the Broncos. I think this is another week where you flood the zones. Because unlike you, I think Luck is pretty good. And I would put him in that category of, if you let him...
You're doing to me what I do to you, which is change what I said.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're learning.
I'm trying. I'm trying to get into that lucrative radio business that everybody else is in.
Andy and I are just trying to learn from the professionals.
That's how you do it.
But I think Luck is capable. If you start giving him the matchups, he's going to find the one he likes and start going after it. Zone is more conducive to A, not letting him run, and B, not letting him get too comfortable with what he's seeing, moving things around, changing things up. It's going to be interesting because I still, you know, I talked about earlier that middle of the field, the Jamie Collins, Patrick Chung, Akeem Ayers, all that I still find fascinating, but I do think this is another zone week. And it's weird because remember early in the year, we were like, why are you playing all this zone?
Man up.
But it just proves that we're objective and we actually,
at it. I think it makes sense this week. I agree with everything Andy just said.
And if you heard one of the buzzwords this week, Andy, did you hear the word explosive quite a bit coming out of players' mouths, Bill Belichick's mouth? It was, they have tons of explosive plays. They have the ability to have explosive plays, big plays down the field. All I could think of was, okay, here we go with the big play ability again. Don't let anything big up down the field.
GTFB.
GTFB, playing in zone. Keep everything in front of you. I think that's what you're going to see a lot of tonight.
And it makes sense on a lot. It also makes sense on the old Bill with young quarterbacks. He won't go, 14 plays on me. And Andrew Luck is prone to turn the ball over
on
occasion.
Nine picks.
Yes, I've heard that, Paul. 26.
Nine
26
picks.
Touchdowns.
No, I haven't heard
3,000 yards.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with those.
I led the program with that, Andy. I led the program with those stats. 3,000 plus, 26 touchdowns already.
I just wonder if the average Patriots fan is sort of aware. You know, I think they still say, oh, Reggie Wayne, or they still say T.Y. Hilton. But I'm not sure they're aware that, you know, Fleener and Allen have 11 touchdowns between them, or Allen and Bradshaw have 13 touchdowns. Half of his touchdowns go to people that I'm guessing, not maybe Joe average Patriot fan, but a lot of Patriots fans aren't aware of how big a part Allen and Bradshaw are to that passing game.
And even in recent weeks, a kid like Moncrief has come on a little bit and sort of, I think he's pushed Nix out of that third role. Now, maybe they're both playing at the same time. I haven't watched a ton, but he seems like he's come on a little bit. I think he's a third-round pick. So they do have much. I mean, you just think about all the guys that they've had, they have right now at their disposal in Indianapolis that they didn't have in the playoff game last January. I mean, you're talking about Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nix, Dwayne Allen, Ahmad Bradshaw, Dante Moncrief. None of those five guys were dressed for that game. So this is a different offense. It started out, it was Andrew Luck and a bunch of nobodies. And then last year it was Andrew Luck and a few other guys.
Buddies.
Now, I think they have the makings of a pretty good offense, and you're seeing they're the number one offense in football from a production standpoint through nine games. So we'll see if they can take that into the game. And I think it'll be interesting to see if a shootout ensues or if the Patriots are able to get up early, Luck makes a quick mistake, and all of a sudden the Colts are chasing the rest of the game.
And I also – everybody's like they don't have a running game. Well, they kind of do. I'm not going to say they're an elite running game. They're not going to win with their running game. But they have a guy who's averaging 5.1 yards a carry, not on, 100 yards. He's got 400 and something yards.
Yeah, I actually think they run too much.
And that may be. But
Pep. You know that Pep Hamilton wants to run the ball.
That may be. But everybody's like, it doesn't matter what the Patriots' run defense is. Well, we'll see. Because I take their running game over the Denver running game. I'll take Bradshaw over Hillman. I even think that for busts, as far as busts go, Trent Richardson has been better this year. Not good, but better.
That shows you how bad he's been.
Right.
This year. Oh, he's not that bad.
Right.
Because he hasn't. He's been better. He's still not good.
He's been okay. He's been like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis this year. He was supposed to be like
he's the third
Peterson.
Pick of the draft. Benny was undrafted.
You know
what
happens.
I know that Luck had didn't have all these guys available to him in the playoffs last year.
But
he did play them a couple years ago, and he did have T.Y. Hilton, did have Dwayne Allen.
He was called a rookie.
I know he was. I'm just throwing it out.
None of those guys were what they are now.
No, they weren't.
T.Y. Hilton was like a rookie fourth round pick.
I'm just giving you facts.
You're giving misleading, idiotic facts.
He's had two career games against the Patriots. One game he had those guys, one game he didn't. I mean, he's 41 games in. We already want to put him up there with some of the greatest
the
of all time. I didn't know we had to delete his rookie year when we discussed this player. I didn't know we had to do that. It was a Patriots blowout in that game.
Serious. And he didn't play well. He hit Aqib Talib in the chest
He's got seven picks in two games against the Pats.
Right.
Seven.
Yeah. So there's no such thing as a rookie.
Count him, Paul.
You're not better after
seven.
Your rookie year.
24 points as a rookie and 22 in the playoffs last year. So if the defense can keep them in
the
game,
here's a good
maybe
question.
That's enough to win.
I was going to say, do you think 24-22 will be enough to win this game?
No, I don't.
So he's got to be better.
Right.
And he is.
And I think he is better.
Oh, man, he is.
Well, here's a chance.
In his third year? Can you imagine, Paul, someone in their third year at home with more weapons could be better?
You guys love Andrew Luck.
No, actually, we don't.
I actually do. I love the guy. I think he's great.
Well, I don't think he's great.
I don't think he's Brady and Manning yet, but I think he's great.
I think he's going to be great. I think right now he's really good.
Let's go to Sean in Orlando. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
Just checked out the active list and inactive list today. It looks like Aaron Dobson's out again. What's going on with this kid? Is he going to be playing anytime soon?
Doesn't look that way.
I wouldn't expect it, no.
All right.
Barring an injury to somebody else.
Who knew the inactives were?
Well, Mark and I were having too much fun arguing.
All right, probably get to that. Where's my read?
Here it is right here, Andy. You got it?
Guardian Injury Report. This week's Injury Report is brought to you by Guardian Life Insurance. Injuries aren't just a spectator sport. They can happen on or off the field, and they can happen to you. Good financial health begins with the benefits offered at your workplace. Make the defensive play. Look for Guardian Life Insurance to protect you and your family this enrollment season. And we are certainly there in that enrollment season. Patriots, inactives, Jordan Devey, Aaron Dobson, obviously Chandler Jones, Casey Walker, interesting inactive, James White, not an interesting inactive, Alfonso Dennard, interesting inactive, and, oh man, my guy Don Jones is inactive.
Why?
That ain't cool. Must have been a bumpy flight. So just to recap, Alfonso Dennard, healthy scratch for the third straight week. Aaron Dobson, healthy scratch for, yeah, I don't know, anybody keeping track of those? It's a large number at this point. Casey Walker, inactive. That, I guess you could say, is either a case where they don't really think they need a run stuffer or multiple run stuffers, or you could say Alan Branch is more comfortable and they're going to lean on him for a larger part of the load there. And my guy Don Jones. A special teams ace, John Don Jones, after I wrote about him this week. That's unfortunate.
There goes that. The curse of Andy continues.
But interesting. Alfonso Dennard. So it's not like a short-term thing. He's just
and it's not,
behind Malcolm
it's
Butler.
It's not like a matchup thing either. It's not like, well, they thought that there was a specific guy that...
We haven't really seen it rotate.
No, it's been Dennard. Dennard's the guy that's out. And I actually was talking in the locker room this week with Tom Curran from CSNNE. And
like
we were
him.
Talking about, you know, how Arrington really had his snaps really increase against Denver. So that put him in a bigger role going against Welker, and maybe that had something to do with it. But it's Butler who's playing over Dennard. And we sort of went back and forth, and he's like, yeah, I guess that's a good point. It's really, I didn't really think of it that way, because it's not Arrington and Logan Ryan playing in the slot that's causing Dennard to be inactive. It's Malcolm Butler getting snaps on the outside that's causing him to lose his playing time. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know the reason for it. But for whatever reason, they have chosen Malcolm Butler over Dennard.
And you love him. You've been a Butler fan from way back. By way back, I mean August.
Well, I was a big fan. I thought he had a great training camp for an undrafted rookie. And I think he's made the most of his opportunities. Do
yeah.
I think he's a great player? No.
I'm kind of
but
disappointed.
I think he deserved to make the team, and I think he is showing that he's not out of place. He's not great, but he's not out of place in the little action that he gets every week.
I'm disappointed in Alfonso Dennard because I really liked that player and what he had shown so far. And this is kind
Me too.
Of a disappointing path that he's taken this year.
I still find it hard to believe that he's not one of the top four
Packers
corners.
Back-to-back 50 burgers.
Four or five corners. Everybody does that. It's modern NFL, Paul. Get used to it.
Let's go to Victor in Washington. Hi,
Bad
Victor.
Bad football.
Victor.
Hello?
Hey. Oh.
Oh.
Victor, go ahead.
Sorry, I've been holding for a long time. I just put on speaker.
Yeah, we apologize for that. Paul and Mark have had a little thing tonight.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I want to see Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman have a huge game today. I think a lot of the focus is going to be on Gronk. Of course, they can't stop him, but I think that's going to open up a lot of things for Danny Amendola and Edelman to kind of expose the slots, maybe a little bit on the outside. I want to see a big game out of those two.
I think Edelman, you have a real shot to see that. I think this could be an Edelman game for the exact reason you talked about.
Me too. I think it's Edelman and Vereen. I'm not sure Amendola gets in there unless, who knows what happens. But
scraps.
Yeah.
Emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com.
Yeah, make sure you read those. We've had a groundswell of our fans on both shows during the week and here that want to make sure we don't get too caller-driven.
Oh,
our roots are with emailers.
Is that a bad thing to have
well,
calls?
Our roots are with emailers. They've sort of been the key to our success over the years, and,
sure.
and we appreciate them chiming in, so we want to make sure we give them their voice.
Corey writes in from Chicago. Paul.
Corey.
Why are you poo-pooing the fact that Luck has so many interceptions?
Because interceptions don't bug me.
Yes, we all know how good Luck is and how much potential he has, but picks are huge. They lose games. You throw it aside like it's a non-issue, but it's not.
Yeah, well, it's the reason why I don't put him on that pedestal now. And I mentioned to you during the middle of our argument, 5 years from now, if we're still saying, he's really good, but he throws too many interceptions, then he won't have become what I think he will become.
That's right, Paul. I agree with
you. I think he will lessen the mistakes as we go on. But in general, as a rule of thumb, interceptions in and of themselves do not bug me. I think good quarterbacks should throw some interceptions, because that means they're trying to make plays. The reason why Alex Smith can't be great is because he protects the football to the point where he does never makes any plays. And he can be a good game manager and keep you in games, but sometimes you need to make plays. What makes guys like Brady and Rodgers and Manning great is they can make plays without making mistakes. When they're right, they don't throw interceptions and they fit the ball into tight windows and big spots for big plays. And if Luck can do that years from now, you know, down the road, he will have become one of the all-time greats. But right now, he makes a ton of plays and makes some mistakes. I'll take 26-9. That's pretty good.
Mike from South Dakota writes, question, if there was one position you could put a better player at on this team, which one would it be? Please exclude the offensive line from your answers. Go Pats.
Well, I would say pass rusher, defensive end, pass rusher.
I would replace Chandler Jones with somebody. I don't know. It just, I don't know if we can pick a specific player, like how this game goes. But
Quinn.
I would put someone where
Chandler. Pick someone like that.
Right?
But I think
I mean,
that.
Can I take anybody in the league? Like, I could take J.J. Watt? I mean.
I think he's just asking easy? For which position.
I think Andy's right.
And because, you know, you talk about sort of elite defenses, and if you pair a back end with what I think people are hoping they have with Revis and Browner, if you pair that with a better pass rush, that only, you know, that benefit goes back and forth. All of a sudden, the pass rush helped by the back end by the pass rush.
Yep.
So, and maybe, you know, we're always looking to, you know, we talked about Chandler Jones last year getting worn down, all the numbers, how he sort of kind of became irrelevant in December. You know, if you're a Quincy-born Patriots honk optimist, maybe you could say when Chandler Jones is back, he might have a little fire in his belly and a little more bounce in those legs when he gets back out there, right?
Just following up on another email, Andy, here, because I know how important they are.
They are. Those are people.
Mike wanted to write back in and say, I was just asking which player, but hey, pick a player. Also, tell Andy I called it with Dobson. Mike says he was out in front of that Dobson thing.
Called what?
Him being inactive and being a bust, I assume.
Oh, seems like my mother could have called that.
Going down.
Being a bust.
Well, when did he call it? If he said,
I don't know.
If he called him being a bust, then that's a good call. I didn't call him being a bust.
Andy, as you've been saying, he had been heading down Taylor Price Way.
I'm not quite ready to close the door, but yeah, it doesn't look great. The hoping for the year three jump, or, you know, Adam Pac-Man Jones was calling for the Alshon Jeffrey jump this year.
He's flying down that road right now.
I think he just got a speeding ticket. Something fast.
Hope it's not a dead end with like a big rock at the end on the cul-de-sac. Just, it's over.
He got a speeding ticket on Taylor Price.
Like a jersey barrier.
But if he picked it, yeah.
Like an off-ramp they didn't finish building.
Right. But if he picked it this week, I mean, right now Aaron Dobson's sort of like, and Alphonso Dennard, it's sort of like one of those SAT things. It's a list, and it says, you know, Patriots inactives, Dobson, 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 Dobson. What comes next? I don't know. I'm thinking Dobson.
Nick from Illinois is making fun of me, and he writes a pretty good email here. Hey, guys. Well, I was going to predict a close, high-scoring Patriots win, 42-35, but Mark has changed my mind. Since Luck is apparently the biggest bust since Jamarcus Russell, I now think the Patriots win 106-7. Thanks for easing my fears, Mark. Nick from Illinois.
And is that a Hasselbeck 7? Comes in late to mop up.
It's the backup quarterback who gets the 7.
Boy, if the Cardinals gotten every call in this game against the Lions, it's unbelievable.
Artie from Lynchburg, Virginia writes, hey, gang.
Is that Artie Lang from Lynchburg? That would be interesting, given his recent schnafuge on Twitter.
It's just regular Artie. What did he say?
Oh, that was, you didn't, 2 weeks ago? He said some really vulgar things that we can't even really discuss on the air.
Let's not do that then. Hey,
they
gang.
Must have been really repulsive. If Andy didn't repeat them.
Going to be a great game tonight. Do you think Tims and Wright will be involved in the game plan to spread it around? Prediction for tonight's game, Patriots 35, Colts 21, Brady for 325 and 3 TDs, 2 to Gronk. Luck will throw 2 picks.
I do think Tims will get his shots because I think when you're going to send Gronk at the middle of that defense and sort of the expectations, I like some of those sneaking him by for a deep one.
Email back from Mike in South Dakota. Of course Andy's mother can call it. Hey. Who do you think told me?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Mama Hart doesn't need to be the topic of this show. She's already a big enough character.
I'm a little, I'm curious as to why so many people feel the need
to want more
to get different people involved offensively.
Right. Things haven't been working.
What about the offense over the last five?
I'll tell you why. Paul, you want an answer on that, Paul?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because there might be a time at some point the rest of the way where you have an injury or you have someone who's not playing well, where you need someone else to step up and do something. Because I think you are better suited in the playoffs if a guy like Tim Wright is more heavily involved now. And, you know, God forbid anyone get injured, like you've had a tight end get injured before, and you go into Denver last year in the AFC Championship game, they couldn't move the football. So I think the more guys you can get involved now and have be productive players, the better prepared you are for any injuries or setbacks you might suffer offensively going forward. I'm all for that.
Okay, I'm not, because I don't think you can get more guys involved and become more productive. I think you'll become less productive if you take some away from the guys that are doing the job.
What's to say that it's going to be less productive? Why can't you be the same production with different players?
Well, how many passes are you going to complete?
I'm not saying it's going to go up. I'm saying that obviously someone else is not going to get thrown the football.
Because Tim Wright's not as good as Rob Gronkowski.
Thank you.
So instead of throwing 9 times to Gronkowski,
I don't want to throw 5 to Wright and 5 to Gronkowski. I want to throw 10 to Gronkowski.
Why does it have to absolutely come away from Gronkowski? Why couldn't it come away from someone like Julian Edelman?
I don't want that. Well, he's not better than Julian Edelman either.
Someone like Brandon LaFell. Like,
I don't want that either. This is my point.
The problem is right now,
40-plus points.
For you people, and I say problem for you people, is that the offense is efficient. There are no deficiencies where you can say, there's no Brandon Lloyd where you say, stop throwing those 6 balls a game to Brandon Lloyd and watching him fall down. There are no inefficiencies in this offense over the last 5 weeks. They have played really well. They've been efficiently distributing the football to the key playmakers, and those playmakers, for the most part, have made good on it.
I would just say that I'm not opposed to Tim Wright being more involved.
You're in a battle for the number one seed in the American Football Conference tonight.
Not too concerned with Tim's, but Wright, I would like to see Wright get a few more catches.
You're in a battle for the number one seed in the AFC.
Are
you trying to win the game and win the number one seed tonight on the road in a big game?
Well, you can't do both.
Or are you trying to get guys their letter?
Like, how many teams
go?
But how many teams have like 9 different options to make plays? Like, I don't understand why the offense can't be
the Colts.
This is as good as the offense has been all year long, and people seem to want to change it.
I just don't know why you're so opposed to working in that
second
tight end.
Because I don't think those guys are as good as the guys that are making plays.
This is a team that is historically, before the other tight end went to jail, liked to use.
And I
got to
tell you, the offense that I've seen the last 3 or 4 weeks has been better than the offense with Gronkowski and Hernandez. This has been better. This has been a more productive offense.
You make a good case there, yes.
So I don't need it to be 2 tight ends. I don't need it to be Brian Timms. I don't need those guys. If they chip in and make a play, great. But I don't feel the need. This is what I should. Andy might be right. Maybe this is the week Brian Timms gets out there. They give him a shot or two. He's been playing, you know, a handful of snaps every game. Maybe this is like Buffalo and one of those snaps ends up being a long touchdown. Great. Add another element. Add another wrinkle. I just don't feel the need to force feed those guys in. Because if your scenario unfolds, Mark, and Gronk gets hurt again, I'm sorry. What those guys, whether they get a lot of action now or a little action now, your offense isn't going to do it in the playoffs.
Well, no, see, that's what I disagree with, because I disagree with the notion.
D-U-N.
I disagree with the notion last year that the only reason the Patriots lost in the playoffs was because they had Rob Gronkowski.
That's not the only reason why they lost in the playoffs.
I'm not saying you said that, but I've received people who have told me this time and time again. Well, you know, that game's different if you have Rob Gronkowski. Of course it's different.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you automatically win. And forgive me to those people. Forgive me for thinking that the Patriots had a chance to win the game without Rob Gronkowski. And that's why I say the more people you get involved,
you got a chance.
The better your chance is. The better your chance is.
I just don't think those guys getting involved is increasing your chances in January. That's where I differ with you.
I think it could increase your chances of squeaking out a win in a situation that nobody wants to be dealt with, which is having a big player be injured.
Those guys have been periodically involved. Tim Wright has shown that he can catch the ball if you throw it to him. He hasn't dropped a pass that I can even think of. Not a single one.
I think they've done a pretty good job of just keeping him warm, so to speak, while rolling and using your weapons.
That's how I want to keep him warm.
But they already have been doing that, in my opinion.
What temperature is he at right now? I want to keep him a little bit warmer.
No, I don't.
I think he's been reasonably productive. When called on, I think he's made the catch every time they've thrown the ball to him. I just don't think that he'll be the guy that's the difference between winning and losing in a playoff game if Gronk isn't out there.
Let's go back to Australia once again. It's James in Australia. Hi, James.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, James. How are you?
Oh, yeah, it's sweltering. It's funny watching the Packers play.
Walkabout?
Steam, and we're in a heat wave here. So.
What's the temperature? And give it to me in what I'll understand, not whatever you use down there.
Right now, it's about 30 degrees Celsius, which I think
wow.
is about
That's
90.
Like 95?
That's 86 degrees. 30 is 86.
Wow. It's hot. I thought it was even hotter than that.
Yesterday we got to 43, and it was so it would have been about 100.
43 is 109.
That's flipping hot. Now, is it humid or is it a dry heat down there?
Very humid. It's sort of like Florida, just smells better.
109 and humid. How is that? How do you survive that?
You stay inside. I'm sure they have air conditioning. They aren't all in the aboriginal tribes.
I went to the beach a couple of hours away and visited my parents. It was good excuse and killed two birds with one stone.
Well done. What do you got for tonight? You excited? I mean, this morning, whatever, you know.
Very excited. I'm just a little bit confused about time zones. Did I call PFW in progress with all the yelling? Or
No, but Mark brought a little
PFW
in progress feel.
Listen,
here.
James, we're just coming out strong after the bye. That's all we're doing.
And Mark channeled his inner Fred Kirsch homer, so that set Paul off. It's sort of that dynamic.
The show had gotten a little too negative, James. We just need to bring a little bit more positivity back.
Negative?
Very negative with these
what
two guys.
What are you babbling about?
Uh-oh. Anyway,
I'm only negative about my picks this week.
What the hell is that?
Sorry, go ahead, James.
Is that us?
So, yes. To this game, I don't know if you guys have heard it. I haven't heard it mentioned a lot. Did you know Andrew Luck has been picked off 9 times?
I had heard that. I had heard that.
Yes, he has. 7 times in his 2 games against the Pats.
About 4,000 times
and
this
I've enjoyed
week.
Every single one of them.
Now, the question is, how many times will he be picked off tonight? Mark is spewing
2.
That he averages
3.5. No, I'm going with 2.
So you're taking the under based on his average against the Patriots. Oh, is that because he's not a rookie anymore and he might be a little better?
What's the over-under? 2.5?
3.5 if you just, you know, he had 7
in 2 games. If it's 3.5,
I'm going
under because I would say 2 or 3 tonight.
I think there's actually a chance it goes the other way because I think he might be in a deficit late and might feel the need to make some plays, and that opens up the opportunity to. And then you people will say, oh, look at all those picks he threw. And I'll say, no, he was just trying to come back. He's trying to make plays. It's playmakers.
And
do.
Once again, those in support of Andrew Luck and those who want to put him on a pedestal and, you know, make him the best in the game will have to sit there and just cast aside his picks.
Just
like,
those of
like
us that
no
are in
deal.
Support of objective analysis of National Football League action.
So we've done to Brady throughout the last 10 years in the playoffs. Might as well do it for
I
Luck, too.
I would say Luck's probably going to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. I think he's very, very good. So.
Yeah, Mark doesn't
not
agree with
Mark
you.
Mark doesn't agree.
That's not true. Don't listen to these guys. He is good.
Just because you're down under doesn't mean your football opinions are upside down. You're well ahead of our Quincy boy here.
James, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, just one quick question. Would you feel better if this game finished 14-10 or 45-41?
45-41. I like where I'm at right now, knowing the Patriots roll out of bed and score a bazillion points. That's a no.
Fair enough. All right, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you in the postgame.
That's one of those.
All right, James, we'll talk to you then.
That gets asked a lot, those kinds of questions. Would you rather win a defensive game or an offensive game? You know, considering I have a hard time.
Depending on who you're talking to,
it's a mass. It's a mass special. I mean, mass offense bad. I have a hard time answering it because I could see it both ways. I don't know. I mean, is it a cop out just to say? Is there some sort of happy medium?
Yes, it's a cop out.
You know, I guess I would rather have the high scoring game. I'd rather know that I can score on anybody.
That's how I feel.
Because I think you have to score to win consistently. And if you can get shut down by a team like the Colts,
right,
then a good defense can shut you down in the playoffs.
27th pass defense and the 32nd red zone defense, and you scored, what was this, 14? Yeah, I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, I take the offense. Now, offense is good, Paul, believe it or not.
Because I think that it's unrealistic to expect to hold good teams in the playoffs to 10. So, yeah, I'd be excited that the defense held the Colts to 10, but I would be more fearful that – if I can only score 14, the other team's going to get more than that.
Neil from Canada writes in, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to get right more balls, feel free to take away from the 7 incompletions to Vereen every week.
That is true. That has been one of the inefficiencies in the offense. But, see, I'm saying that's going to turn around. Even though I'm down on him, I think this is a game where he's going to have about a buck 40, buck 20 total yards.
Let's get to another pregame prediction from Cal in Chicago. Cal writes, Pats win high scoring, back and forth shootout, 44-37. Mark leaves this game not wanting to admit Luck is better than he thought. Quick question, all time. Are Brady, Revis, and Gronk the best three players ever assembled on a team in NFL history?
No. I didn't think about it for any amount of time, but no.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and figure that out. I don't know. It's Montana, Rice, and Ronnie Lott.
That's the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna get the job done with Gronk and Revis.
Now it also depends on where you put, because I don't think you can anoint Brady the best quarterback ever. There's a debate, just like there is for Montana in your Rice comparison.
No,
Rice, I think, is the best ever, and I can give Gronkowski best ever if you spin me. But so now it gets down to, if I think Revis is the best corner ever, okay, that sways the Revis one a little bit. I personally don't. I think there are other corners that are at least in the conversation.
Listen, Montana Rice makes it very hard to contend with for any trio of players.
And that was
I don't.
But that was just off the top of my head, too. I mean, I didn't, you know.
Gronk's the best tight end ever. Rice is the best receiver ever. It's,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
a
like
wash.
Some of those Dallas teams.
No, but you have Montana, who's the best quarterback ever with the best receiver ever.
No, but you can argue Brady's as good as Montana.
You could. You could very much argue that for sure.
See, what I'm saying is the quarterbacks are a debate. I'm giving you Gronk best tight end, and I'm giving you, which is a little bit more of a given.
So you're basically
Rice
saying
best
Ronnie
receiver.
Lott versus Darrell Revis.
Right. And I think Lott has had a better career. But you might argue that
Revis
is better.
That was just one off the top of my head. I mean, like, I was just starting to say, I mean, look at those Pittsburgh that had like 9 Hall of Famers on it. You know, they all played together.
Yeah, you know what they say, Paul.
What?
If you have 9 Hall of Famers, you don't have one.
They say that?
No.
Oh, okay. Who says that?
This is an interesting debate. I kind of poo-pooed it initially, but it is kind of fun to think about.
Well, I think it's hard to do with guys. Here's where I'm going to jump to Beatles' side. It's hard to do when guys are still playing. Are we considering all three of those guys for the Patriots Hall of Famers?
Oh, well, I would assume.
Because I can come up with countless teams that have three Hall of Famers on them at the same time.
Emmitt, Irvin, like
Randy,
Dion.
Randy White and Roger Staubach with Tony Dorsett.
How about Emmitt, Irvin, Dion?
There's another one.
Or Emmitt, Aikman, Dion, however you want to pony up those individual
players. Those are all Hall of Famers. You know, forget the Steelers, you know, with like Swan, Stallworth, and Jack Lambert. Mean Joe Green. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, Dunkin' Donuts steak and egg sandwich is the perfect way to start your day. It's a delicious breakfast sandwich with the steak and egg you deserve. Enjoy an Angus steak and egg sandwich today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. When we come back here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, we'll talk to Stephen Holder of the Indianapolis Star. We'll get some insight into the Colts. That's coming up next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart getting ready for tonight's matchup between the 7-2 Patriots and the 6-3, that is, Indianapolis Colts tonight in Indianapolis. And with this game tonight, we go behind enemy lines with Stephen Holder, who joins us from the Indy Star. Hi, Stephen. How are you? Thanks for the time.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Let's start here. How big of a game is this for the Colts? Of course, there's a lot of things at stake in the AFC. How are they approaching this game?
I think it's an enormous game, and they're talking the talk of it being sort of a just another game, but I think everyone in the building knows differently. And there's certainly a little bit of more of a pulse, I would say, this week, and I think the reasons are obvious. They have to get over this hurdle. They have not beaten the Patriots under the Chuck Pagano, Andrew Luck era in that 3-year span, so I think it's a big hurdle for them to get past, and they know that the AFC playoff picture is very much fluid right now, and they can certainly make themselves a huge factor there. So it's a huge game for these players and for the franchise.
Stephen, you mentioned Andrew Luck, and obviously, you know, a win tonight would sort of put him in running for number one seed in the AFC, put him in that whole Brady Manning conversation playoff wise. What is he doing better in his third season than he was doing a couple years ago when he was throwing picks here in Foxborough?
I just think he's responding to adversity a little bit better, and he's always done that well. I think everyone knows about the 10 fourth quarter comebacks that he's pulled off, and we've talked ad nauseum about those things. But I think it just sometimes it's not the fourth quarter that's the issue. Sometimes it's not forcing the ball in the first quarter or second quarter, making good decisions there. I think he's also been very judicious about when to run the ball, when to tuck it, and try to get yards in that respect. He doesn't do it nearly as much as some of the other athletic quarterbacks, because he's very athletic, but I think he just has a really good sense of when to use his legs, and that has been a huge asset for the Colts, I think. When he does get into problems, he can certainly break out, but it's his very, very last option, and I think he's done a good job of knowing when to go to that option.
Steven, we've been talking a lot about the Colts offense too tonight, and just how many weapons that he has, that Luck has, that weren't available in the playoff game last January here in Foxborough. You know, guys like Bradshaw and Nix and Reggie Wayne and even Dante Moncrief, Dwayne Allen. How much better is this offense than it was last January?
It's night and day. It's not even close. I will tell you this. Two of their top four receivers on that day in New England in the playoffs this past January, two of their top four receivers that day, they are not on the roster right now. And that's because, frankly, they've been beaten out and they're not necessary. So that gives you a sense of where they are in terms of their personnel. So Reggie Wayne's back. He's not going to run anyone off the field necessarily at this stage of his career, but he still runs great routes and is a huge asset on third down. T.Y. Hilton has taken his game, I think, to the next level because those other threats are there, and it's very difficult to be over the top of him or double him. So they have made T.Y. Hilton better by assembling those pieces around him and Luck, and they have also, I think, created some other mismatches. Dante Moncrief, as you mentioned, Hakeem Nicks, who really hasn't been a huge factor, but certainly is someone that the defense has to respect. So there's tons of options, and I think you're seeing that in the numbers with Andrew Luck this year, just off the charts, and it's very, very difficult to slow this offense down right now.
Flipping it to the other side of the football, we know, you know, the main guy on the Patriots' offense is Rob Gronkowski. Not a coincidence that he's started rolling the last 5 weeks, and this offense has been among the best in football in that span for a five-game winning streak. What exactly do you expect the Colts to throw at Rob Gronkowski, and are we really going to see Sergio Brown be a part of that? Because we have memories of Sergio Brown when he played defense here earlier in his career, and he was not good.
I've heard. Well, I will tell you this. I don't expect the Colts to get too cute. Now, I will eat my words if I'm wrong, but I'm just telling you, they don't really get out of character very often on defense. I think this matchup is the one that maybe warrants maybe a team deviating from its usual tactics, you know, just because Rob is such a unique player and such a difficult matchup. But that being said, I just don't think they're going to do that. They're going to probably lean very heavily on Jarrell Freeman, one of their inside linebackers. He's their top cover linebacker. Dequell Jackson, I think, has had some difficulties in coverage. I don't think they want to get him isolated on Gronkowski. That's not a winning matchup. But I do expect to see some Freeman. And I think one guy to perhaps watch is Laron Landry. They have a couple packages in the playbook tonight, in the game plan. We don't know what they consist of, but he's going to play. He's coming off four-game suspension for PEDs, and they're going to use him on defense. We just don't know in what capacity. So I wonder if maybe they have some plans for him against Gronkowski. I think that's something to watch. Don't be surprised if you see that tonight.
Do you think just flat out that this defense has enough to slow down what the Patriots have been doing offensively lately? They're averaging over 40 points a game, I think, for the last month. Can Indianapolis slow them down?
It's going to be tough. I will tell you this. This defense is playing, I think, at the highest level it has since Chuck Pagano's arrival here. So I think they're a different defense than the one most people remember in New England in January. So I'll say that much. I will say they have had their moments where things didn't go so well either. So there's no promises here. But I will tell you, in this building, at Lucas Oil Stadium, the defense tends to play at a higher level for whatever reason. I know every team plays better at home, of course, but this defense tends to play, I think, at a more elite level at home. They feed off the home crowd, and you really do tend to get a better performance out of it. So I think that's going to loom large tonight. I want to see the pass rush, I think, is a huge factor. If they can get some pass rush with their base pass rushers, then I think they'll make things tough on Brady by flooding the secondary. So we'll just have to see whether they're successful in that regard.
I was going to ask you about those pass rushers because I think I was looking at the stats. They have like six guys with three or more sacks. You know, it's not the days of Freeney and Mathis, but they do have some guys that are getting there. Tell us, you know, if they are successful getting there in terms of the pass rush tonight, which are a couple guys that you expect would be getting it done?
Well, I think one guy that you'll see is obviously Bjorn Werner. He's their first round pick in 2013, but he doesn't have huge numbers right now, but he is getting to the quarterback and making the quarterback has to get rid of the football, if not finishing the job by getting the sack. So you will likely see him back there, but you're also going to see a ton of blitzes because that's what they do. Now, blitzing Tom Brady has pluses and minuses, so I think they have to be judicious and they have to pick their spots and not make those calls at the wrong times, but they're going to do that. They're a pressure defense. That's what they do. You saw Chuck Pagano do it in Baltimore, and he's going to do the same thing here in Indianapolis as they have been. So I think you should expect to see linebackers coming. You should expect to see safeties at times. But like I said, it's a high-risk, high-reward sort of proposition against Tom Brady. So they're going to have to pick their spots very, very carefully.
Steven, do you have a pick for tonight's game? Who do you think is going to win this one?
You know, nothing would surprise me, obviously, but I give a slight edge to the Colts at home. If this were in Foxborough, I don't think there's any question of picking the Patriots, but I give a slight edge to the Colts just because I think you really do get a true sense of their talent level in this building. I don't quite see it as consistently on the road, but in this building, I think with this team having so many young stars who are not as experienced, they tend to thrive more at home. So I'm going to say the Colts is a close one, but I expect a shootout, and I expect it to be a game where one team's going to have to outscore the other. I think it's going to be that kind of ball game tonight.
And free shrimp cocktail for everyone at St. Elmo's.
Hey, I'll go for that.
All right, Colts reporter Stephen Holder joining us here on the show. You can follow him on Twitter, at HolderStephen, and read his Colts coverage at IndyStar.com. Stephen, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks,
Stephen. Stephen Holder joining us here on the line from Indianapolis, getting ready for this game tonight between the Colts and the Patriots. 855-PATS-500. That was his cell phone making noises as he disconnected there. We're going to go right back to the phones with you at 855-PATS-500. And yes, Andy.
I just wanted to react real quick. I might need to extend my margin of victory because, you know, he had these little phrases like, usually they kind of do what they do. They don't extend too far from that. And they're going to count on, who was it, Freeman, that they're going to have match up with Gronk. Yeah, game over. Thanks for playing.
Like we said, we're going to play the game every week. Will this be the week that Rob Gronkowski gets covered?
We're going to blitz Brady, and we're going to put a linebacker on Gronk. Good night.
Yeah.
Good night.
I don't think there's any chance that they're going to be able to take Gronk out of the game. But the part of that I heard was a little troublesome from my perspective for the Patriots side is the blitzing. And I feel like if they're able to get there, and he's right about those are the kinds of teams that they play a certain way at home. And I think it's easier to get off the ball at home than it is on the road. And if that's something that you really feel is a big part of your defense, that's something to be that's something to keep an eye on tonight because I do feel if Indianapolis wants to sit there and drop back, like Andy said, and kind of do what they do and flood zones with coverage, that's not going to bother Brady at all. But if you get in his face – and make him work for it and put some pressure on him, make him get rid of the ball earlier than he wants to.
Bjorn Werner, he said?
That could work. Beto, I think he just went by it.
I did?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that, Paul?
No, I'm not positive, but I thought I
don't think we did.
This is radio.
You did. You did.
No, I'm Beto not looking for that. I'm looking for NBC.
Oh. Can we watch the last 2 minutes?
Sure, we can watch this instead.
Thanks.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
Not Holy Cross, it's Holy Crapoli. Paul was looking for the low-level basketball.
That's right. I thought that you had realized that they were in a good game. And you wanted to see what happened.
No, I didn't even realize
25th-ranked team in the country.
But you know what? I do want to see this now that I know what the score is. Thanks
focus,
for stopping
guys.
Me,
focus,
Paul.
Guys.
Let's go to Josh in the UK. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, I just want to talk about are we building a playoff-resistant often, because having watched us for the last number of years often falter and not give what we could have given in big playoff games, I'm particularly thinking about guys that are making it through to the championship game in the Super Bowl from the sixth seed. So it's not necessarily your regular season dominance, but actually your star in the playoffs.
Right. It's about playing your best football in January. Certainly that has become far more prevalent in the NFL. In the old days, everybody thought you had to have a one or a two to win. There have been plenty of cases of the hot team going in. But in terms of what you said, to me, it's about Gronk. And I know Paul's going to make fun of me, but we've talked about it for years. Playmakers. This team didn't have enough playmakers in January to win one-on-one matchups. There is no more dominant one-on-one playmaker in the National Football League than Rob Gronkowski. So I really feel like if he is on the field, then yes, you have a chance to be a very good team in January.
Do you think we can run the ball when the other team knows we're going to run the ball?
Nope.
No.
But if Gronk's there, I'm not sure it matters.
No?
I don't think they're a great running team. But I feel like it just comes down to, do you play offensively the way you've played? Do you play the way you want to play, you know, in the playoffs three straight weeks? You know, that's how you get – that's how you make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. If you're not consistent in the playoffs, I think that they've had – I mean, they scored 40-what points against the Colts last year, and then they come out the next week, and all of a sudden they didn't have any weapons. So if you don't play well in the offense, you're going to go home. It's as simple as that, because I believe you need to score in the playoffs to win.
I do, too.
You're not going to win a lot of 13-10 games. I know that's where everybody thinks that that's how you win. I know in large part Seattle won that way last year with a running game and really good defense. To me, that was an outlier in today's game. And I don't dismiss it. I don't ignore it. That's what they did. Hats off to Seattle. They won a Super Bowl doing it in a way that I didn't think you could do it anymore. But I think if you look at the recent champions, more of them have been because they've had good offense, consistent offense in the playoffs.
But the Patriots don't have either the running game or the defense to even have a sniff of trying to be Seattle from last year. My biggest thing is let's try to avoid games where, you know, on third down we're throwing to Matthew Slater and Matthew Mulligan and guys like that. If I see those guys on the field, I think you lose no matter what you've been doing coming in.
Yeah, I think we're in danger, though, of becoming the guy that we all ridicule, Manning, becoming the guy that puts up the regular season stats, but that we just can't win the really big games. Because how long has it been since we really kind of
10 years.
Turned up in the playoffs and put out a performance that we could be proud of, even if we didn't win, that we played in a way that we could say, yeah, we played the best possible game we could play, and the opposition were just that little bit better, or whatever.
Yeah, it's been a while. They haven't put up great performances in the postseason. They've had, you know, whether you want to make excuses, reasons, you know, things that come together. But the comparison I would draw is, right now, what have we talked about? That it's Brady, Revis, and Gronkowski. We're comparing them to the greatest threesomes ever. That's a funny idea. That could be a whole separate radio topic. Greatest threesome ever.
Yeah.
But last year, you lost Gronk in December, and then you lost Talib early in that game. Guess what? I think if you lose Gronk and Revis at any point between now and January, you're going to have a hard time going to or winning a Super Bowl or being at your best. It's just it's the nature of the beast.
Let's go to Joe in Baton Rouge. Hey, Joe.
Thanks for having me on the show. This season, I didn't think I could like Bill Belichick anymore, but he's really done a phenomenal job in his midseason roster adjustment. What are you guys' thoughts on bringing in Akeem Ayers and running a nickel package with two defensive tackles and four linebackers, the way they have and the way they've covered up the loss of Chandler Jones?
Well, I mean, I don't think Belichick needed to do anything really as a coach to get to be any higher in my mind, to be honest with you. For some reason, Andy and Mark think that what you just asked was funny. I don't really understand why it is.
I think it was a good question for you.
I feel it's all about the offense, not the defense. I think that the offense is scoring 40-plus points every week, and as long as you continue to be productive, I'm not saying you have to have over 40 every week, but you're making life an awful lot easier on your defense. And you're up by two scores every game because you're coming out of the gates smoking on offense. And you're making the other team play from behind. I think if they can do that tonight, that's why that was my key to the game tonight. Continue that trend of a fast start, get a two-score lead, make the other team chase, take the running game away from the other team. I think that's the biggest weaknesses. You ask why you can play two defensive tackles and all those defensive backs last week? Because the other team couldn't run the ball. They couldn't run it when they tried, and they took it away from the game because the Patriots had a big lead the whole night.
Robin's in Jacksonville. Hi, Robin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Just kind of want to say, you know, what I'm wondering is where is the apology for Guglielmo, the offensive line coach?
Yes, Googe. I mean, we go with Googe, makes it easier.
He took a lot of abuse, and I think we owe him a big apology. I mean, I don't know what he did, but he got that line in order. What do you guys, I mean, you guys are there. I mean, you guys see practices. You see everything.
We don't see the practices.
What is the change? What has been the big difference?
Brian Stork went into the lineup. Ryan Wendell went into the lineup, and they've played better.
I think we owe him a big apology.
Okay, how do you think the offensive line played in the first part of the season?
They were terrible.
So why do we have to apologize to him?
Well, because he needed time to, you know, he just got there. I just think we were very hard on him, and I haven't heard the word Dan Tice Karnecia in many, many weeks.
I still wish Dante Scarnecchia was on the staff myself.
Heard that word, yeah.
I feel like the offensive line has been better since Ryan Wendell went into right guard and Jordan Devy came out, and Brian Stork went to center, moving Dan Conley over to left guard, and Marcus Cannon came out. I think the line has been better since that happened.
Yeah, and those were coaching moves that you say, good job, and good job finding out which
well,
group
I wonder
is
why
work
it's,
best.
I wonder why
and
it
all
took
that,
so long.
Yeah,
and then you don't need an apology for saying that you weren't doing your job well early in the season.
Well, I don't know whether he was or wasn't, but we've talked about this on PFJ in Progress. I'd like to know how those personnel moves came about to start the year, to change midway through the year, why people were playing, why people weren't playing, why the Jordan Devy infatuation, and then he's done. And all. I think that was an interesting dynamic. We'll never know what, say, Googe had in that, didn't have in that, Bill had in that, didn't have in that. But I also would get back to Paul's thing. You know when it's also easier to play offensive line? When Gronk is playing great and you're getting out to scores and leading and controlling the way the game is being played.
Because I honestly don't think the protection has been that much. It's improved. The offensive line has improved. But you look at these numbers, and I don't know how they're compiled, but I'm just looking at the flat numbers. And it's comparing apples to apples. Time in the pocket in the first four games compared to the last five. Average time to throw in the first four games as a and it's not that different. The sack total is different, I think, because of what Andy just said. All of a sudden, Brady has more places to go with the football because Gronkowski's out there all the time.
But even the pressures aren't different. He's still
that's what
he's
I'm saying.
Still getting
the pressure
hit.
Is the same, and the time in the pocket.
Well,
is
see
the
that
same.
I have no idea that one bothers me. But just the pure hits.
All
and
of
the
numbers
pressures.
Are the same except for sacks.
So
and I think it's because Brady's getting rid of the ball faster.
And when did anyone say Googe sucks? He doesn't deserve his job. Everybody said with, I'd rather have the veteran guy who's been here forever and I knew could do it.
And people, and listen,
and those two aren't mutually exclusive.
I am in this camp. I wondered if Googe, maybe this is what the caller was getting to. Maybe this is what I would need to apologize for. I wondered if Googe had what it took to turn around what looked like a problem area. And so far, he has. Because I think they have gotten better and he has been part of that. I didn't know if that. I knew with Dante, I've seen them struggle early in the season at times with Dante and knew that he would get it right. I didn't have that confidence because I had never seen this guy before. Hats off to Googe for getting it turned around.
Well, maybe you should send him a little card that says, I'm sorry.
Be happy to talk to him anytime.
I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, they made him available at 8 o'clock in the morning one day in the middle of the week.
Fred Kirsch talked to him, don't worry.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hi, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
How are you?
Man, pretty good. Getting ready for this game. Kind of, Paul already talked about it. I think I called PFW earlier this week talking about the confidence level, you know, just starting a game fast. I think, man, like kind of what Paul said, man, the key to this game is going to be starting fast. You don't want to – I think the Patriots could get a taste of their own medicine. If they get down, you know, 10-0, then they have to play catch-up on the road and all this stuff like that. I just think we can start fast and, you know, kind of keep the ball going. I think you could make, Luck might try to show a little bit of inexperience, try to force some passes, just throw them off that game and make them play catch up to us. So I think this game is going to be really important, these first couple of drives, to go in there and, you know, take the crowd out. You don't want to get in an offensive shootout on the road behind, you know, get in there, get it done. And I'm not really concerned about this game.
Wow.
The other way around, you know.
You're not concerned about it?
I'm not overly concerned. I'm kind of with Melvin. I'm not overly concerned about it either.
No.
I'm not either.
Really?
No, I'm not.
Melvin, I'm sorry. I bumped you off there. Are you still there?
No.
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yep. You got anything else?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, you know, I'm not concerned. I know a lot's at risk, but, you know, just start the game fast. I feel like my confidence level with this game, like Kenny, could go down if we're down 10-0 or something like 14-0. And, you know, I just want to be able to start fast and get the ball going. You know, that's just me.
one of Paul's big points of the game. Start fast.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm not, when I say that I'm not overly concerned about the game, it doesn't mean I don't think there's a chance they could lose. You know, it's not, they're not playing Oakland here. You know, I mean, I think the Colts are pretty good. I just feel like the Patriots are better. And I think, Andy, you used this comment, I think, during the course of the week and maybe on the TV show. I think they're better in all areas.
Yeah, I do too.
I think there's not really an area that I would say, you know what, the Colts are better than at that. You know, I
did forget to ask Stephen Holder, though. How
maybe punting?
One of the worst pass defenses in football has the best third down defense. It's a little weird.
Well, I mean, it speaks to the Colts have done what I think the Patriots have done a great job of lately. They've gotten in front, and they've made teams one-dimensional, and they've racked up a lot of yards against the Colts, but chasing. Yet, when they've needed to make plays and get off the field on third down, earlier in the games, they've probably been able to do it.
But you would just think that when they were racking up those yards, they'd be converting some third downs that would sway it.
Well, I think late in the game, maybe it's not on third down. You're just giving up yards, you know, because they're just throwing the ball.
We'll just let you have it on second
down. They're just chucking it.
I find it's just one of those quirky statistical
things. I think the Indianapolis defense, to me, is one of the quirkiest that I've seen through. This is a pretty good sample, 9 games.
Sure.
They're last in the league in red zone, which is, I mean, obviously a sign of a bad defense when you can never come up with a field goal. You can never hold them to a field goal. They're best in the league on third down. Those two things don't really seem to make a lot of sense. They would seem to be a kind of team on paper that could give up a lot of yards on the ground, but yet that hasn't really hurt them. Defensively, I think they went something like 5 games. Out of 5 out of the last 6 games, they've allowed 17 points or less. They don't strike me as having the personnel to be able to do that.
And they did the, however you want to talk about it, the teams that are middling, they made look bad. Like they shut out the Bengals. I believe they shut out the Ravens too.
They didn't shut out the Ravens, but low scoring. It was a low scoring game.
And,
yeah.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right? If a team is questionable and can go either way, you make them.
But those two
lose.
Teams aren't really. I mean, those two teams are pretty good.
Well,
those two teams, I think of on the Colts level.
Oh, I think the Colts are better.
Cincinnati and Baltimore, I think they're different teams because Indianapolis is offensive and those two teams are defensive.
Right.
But I think they're similar teams.
I think through 9 games, you've proven the Colts are better than them.
Yeah, I don't know.
855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. We got open lines for you. You want to jump on board?
We're going to have the same record after tonight.
We got a about. Let's see.
Wow, he's getting cocky now. We're just penciling in victories.
20 minutes to go here in the program. We're going to take a quick timeout.
Should I not have done that?
Quick timeout. We're coming back. We're making our 2 picks, and we'll at some point talk to Eric Scalavino.
Woohoo!
And we got plenty of time for more of your phone calls between now and the end of this program. Join us. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, here we go. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame.
Get this over.
Making 1-3. Time to get to the two-pack. It's not quite a six-pack.
The two-pack. Andy won last week.
Two-pack Shakur!
Andy wins last week 3-2. Mark 2-3. Paul 2-3. Mark's still in first place for the year at 19-26.
Thank you.
Andy in second at 16-29. Paul at 13-32. Pittsburgh at Tennessee.
That's, like that's what I did this week, I think. 13-32.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Pittsburgh by 5.5.
Hmm,
I need the Steelers.
Pittsburgh's rolling.
I'll take Pittsburgh.
I'm taking Pittsburgh as well, but I really need them.
So everyone's taking
up points. They're rolling right now.
All right, clean sweep for Pittsburgh. New England at Indy. Indy by 2.5.
New England. Easy.
It's a bad line on this game. New England.
Yeah, I like the Patriots as well. I think they're a better team, as I just mentioned before the last break. I mean, they're
better
in all phases.
And they're getting points.
Better team in all phases.
I like the Pats by 10 tonight. That's
coming off a bye.
We will not have any change standings. Everyone picking the same thing.
Yeah, but I could use a 2-0. Not going to lie.
Yeah, we could all use victories.
So that means...
As long as the standings are irrelevant, if we could all just get back to...
in first place next week.
Nothing gets by you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
I just need to climb a little bit closer to respectability.
Thank you very much. 855-PATS-500. 10 minutes to go on the show. 855-PATS-500. Get your phone calls in. We'll get you on the board here. Before we get to those calls, let's go inside the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, let's head out on the Ace Ticket hotline and talk to Eric Scalavino at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, getting ready for tonight's game. What's the news from Indianapolis, Eric?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Great. How was the, did you hit the bash at the, what was it, the stadium or something, tavern?
No, we did not.
What? You two, nobody talks a better game than Eric and Fred during the week, and nobody blows off our fans like Eric and Fred on the weekend.
I didn't make any promises.
Yeah, I think in Eric's defense, he never said he was going
to. That's true, but Fred.
I never did say that.
Fred promised you.
He promised, yeah.
He offered you up.
I don't deliver on his promise.
That's true. You guys are lame. You screwed our fans. I apologize to all our fans listening.
What'd you do instead?
Chilled out. Watched The Hangover.
The Hangover.
Was it good?
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, it's funny.
Okay. Well, I'd forgotten how funny it was,
actually. All right, so I understand there's some snow outside. I'm assuming the roof is closed, so we won't have a weather game, because we know how Paul doesn't believe in weather games.
No, and you know that would actually be in favor of the Patriots if they did that, because they've never lost them.
I don't.
It's to Indy's advantage to keep the roof closed and the snow out. But yeah, it is snowing a little bit. Hopefully, it doesn't impact our flight home, but it's not going to impact the field conditions of the game.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't care about your flight home. Things I do care about, and it's weird in a way that I would jump right to this, and I'm going to admit it's a little weird, given that two of the best offenses in football are battling, but given that it seems like you could end up with a shootout that could be decided by a field goal. You have the two best kickers in football. How did they look in warm-ups?
They looked great. The conditions, like I said, they're indoors. The weather outside is not a factor. And they both looked great. Gostkowski was hitting with consistency from 60 yards, which is phenomenal. He normally warms up at, you know, in Gillette, roughly 50 to 55 range, and it's usually pretty accurate from there. But he went all the way to 60 tonight, and was good from there. Vinatieri, I don't think went quite that far, but he was still, like he always is, sending everything right down the middle. So, yeah, I think it's, as Bill said this week, if you're waiting for Vinatieri to miss, you're going to be waiting a long time. I think Gostkowski is having that kind of season, too. It's going to be interesting if it does come down to a field goal. Whoever has the ball last, they're kicking it. That team's probably going to win because these guys are the best in the league right now.
Seen a lot of stuff on the Twitter machine, Eric, about Zach Moore, who was active tonight after being inactive last week.
Yeah.
Some people seeing him out there with some of the groups in warm-ups?
Yeah, I didn't really see him at first. I think he might have come in on like second rep or so with those first guys. But what I did notice that I hadn't seen before was Rob Ninkovich. The front seven, first of all, was sort of all over the place. The thing I noticed most was where they put Rob Ninkovich. He was playing what looked like an inside linebacker, middle linebacker position. For the first couple of reps. And then the third one I saw him take, he started there and then jumped at the nose tackle for a play.
So the old Chandler Jones thing that they used to do?
Sort of like that. But I've never seen them do that with Nickerbay, so that was kind of interesting. Akeem Ayers was out there with that first group with Hightower, Chris Jones, and Vince Wilfork with the two, but, you know, legitimate tackles or defensive linemen, if you will. the other guys were all standing up. The other five in that front seven were standing up, and including Moore at one point. So I really don't know what to make of it because we haven't really seen anything like that before. And you know, it is kind of curious with Moore, who was inactive and has been inactive on and off all year, what they plan to do with him tonight. But I keep an eye out for Ninkovich. That I thought was kind of bizarre. I've never seen him do that before. You know, we've seen him play the outside linebacker quite a bit, but never really gone in the middle before. I thought that was intriguing.
Eric, what is the energy level there? Early crowd, the press box, the city as you pulled up. You know, is this getting that big game Manning Brady type vibe, or what do we got?
Not right now, actually. The crowd, I mean, I'd say it's maybe about 2/3 full right now. People sitting down in the seats. There's nothing on the field going on at the moment. A couple of ball boys passing around, and there's like a mini blimp that's floating around the stadium. But it was really quiet all day today, even around town. Like there wasn't a lot of hype. You know, sometimes we go to places and there are fans all over the place, banners, tailgates and stuff. But with the weather, maybe it was maybe keeping people indoors. It was rather quiet, a quiet Indianapolis and surrounding.
Is that Fred I can hear?
That is Fred.
Tell Fred if he wants to talk on the show, he can call in on his own. Quit chiming in the background.
Well, Andy chastised me, saying you should call into the show. Fred said they're going to be typing in music and sounds tonight. Be on the lookout for that.
He's right about that.
Tell him to have another hot dog.
There's proof of that. This is a place where they you know, the CD skipped.
All right, see you, Eric.
Eric, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time. That happens there. Fred's not lying about that. Paul gave me a look earlier like I was...
You're damn skinny.
You have morphed into Fred tonight.
Some kind of jackass for bringing that up.
You are some kind of jackass tonight.
I think
for bringing that up?
No, just because you're a jackass tonight.
They piped in a virus in the locker room at halftime, too.
Yep.
That's how they all got sick.
Oh, I thought it was the Gatorade. They spiked the Gatorade.
They piped in a virus.
The record skipped and you know everything, all that, blah, blah.
I don't know about those other conspiracy theories you mentioned, but the pumping in of the crowd noise happened. We heard it.
Okay, yeah, we heard it.
You didn't hear it.
I may have dozed off for a minute. What was the Ninkovich important news?
There wasn't any.
He lined up in the middle of the field. As he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think they. You know what Chandler Jones used to do all the time?
Nink.
I think that they did that with Chandler Jones. Now maybe with Ninkovich, maybe that means they're going to switch sides. And Zach Moore, who a lot of the people on Twitter, a lot of the beat writers were saying was out there.
We're going to see more of Zach.
Maybe Moore plays Ninkovich's side, and they move Ninkovich to Chandler Jones's side. I don't know if that means anything or just a coincidence, but a lot of times pregame Chandler Jones was sort of messing around in the middle of the defense, even nose tackle.
Sure.
Evidently Ninkovich was doing.
And you could certainly see some light athletic fronts in this game tonight.
Yeah, because I wouldn't expect them to think that they're going to get pounded with the running game.
I don't think it's a big Alan Branch game.
Although he is active.
He is active.
And Casey Walker is not.
Well, you know, he said he used to rush the passer and play the run in Carolina. So it's a little weird that you wouldn't want him for your pass rush.
JB writes in from Virginia.
Paul stories.
This one's for Paul. Paul, the offense can't score 40 points a game if the defense doesn't stop the opposing offense on a consistent basis.
Sure they can.
And get the ball back to Brady.
Sure they can.
Mike in South Dakota still
emailing.
They
just did it 2 weeks ago.
Still emailing us. Never stops. Emailing us a link to tonight's game, which you can stream online.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, you might not want to pass that link along. You get in trouble for that.
No, isn't it? NBC does. It's a link to NBC's website.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It's Sunday Night Football.
Because Fred often passes along like international shady through like
when
Mozambique.
You have to knock three times and ask for the snowman.
No. This takes you to NBCSports.com.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's legit. Yeah, Fred sends links that are just combinations of letters and numbers, and it goes through somewhere in Africa. Then it bounces.
No. This is 100%
legal. Fingerprint on the side.
This is 100% legal and authorized at NBCSports.com.
Fred also likes to tell you to make sure you put a little little sticky note on the camera on your laptop so they can't watch you.
I'm going to wave to mine right now. I always forget to put the sticky on them.
Mike wrote, it's on NBC, and I sent it by accident. He didn't even mean to send it to us.
Mike and Sodak,
right on top of that.
Who's the pussy now?
Dylan writes, hey, guys, just want to ask if you consider Andrew Luck elite. NFL.com and their analysts constantly say he is elite. I don't think he is yet, all caps. Definitely in a few years, he has the potential to be the next big name. But
who's elite? Like, I don't know where the line is.
Are we talking today?
Hold on.
If we're talking in today's game.
Let me read the rest of Dylan's email.
Okay.
All right. Dylan's not here to stick up for himself. Okay. Dylan writes.
I think
we are being a bit premature. Also, do you think Revis will be on Wayne while Browner will be on Nix and then Arrington and Chung on Hilton tonight? Just wanted your thoughts on all this. Go Pats. My prediction, 42-31. Patriots win. Dylan in Orlando. Proceed.
Well, do you want me to answer his question?
Deferring to Andy.
Well, my first question was, what's elite? I don't know where the line is, the demarcation.
If we're talking about, is he one of the all-time elite? No. Are we elite in today's game, in my opinion?
Yes.
Yes. I think he's one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the league.
For this season?
This year. Right now.
Is that not fair?
I think that makes
fair. Okay.
If you're one of the best in the league.
I said that up front. You were missing from that point.
If you're one of the best in the league, I think that makes you elite. Now, does it make him an all-time elite? No.
How many picks does he throw tonight, Paul?
Get away.
How many picks does he go through?
Two.
That's all I want to know.
Oh,
two?
Ball. Paul. Apparently they're making fun of Brady on the Jumbotron right now with some pregame hijinks.
I don't like that. I don't like it one bit.
A horse giving faux Brady a pie to the face.
That's dumb. I hate it.
Beadle doesn't like that.
Wait till they start pumping in the crowd noise.
So
that's
you hate
next.
That kind of stuff?
No, I'm
you
just
must
kidding.
Love games
I'm,
here.
It's a joke. I'm being sarcastic.
Because we don't do that kind of stuff. We don't have any fun.
I wish they did a little more of that on the
Me too. Why don't you tell Kev?
Yeah, I will. Kev, we're going to talk about that tonight. All right, everybody.
Suck.
Enjoy the game. We'll be back right after the game ends with the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. We'll be breaking this one down. We'll have plenty to talk about. We'll be taking your calls, hearing from Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, everybody. Come right back after the game. Enjoy it. Big one on tap tonight.
The Colts suck.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Pats take on Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter Brady with a playmaker and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.